live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
It's 5 o'clock. In this bulletin, the Higher Education Minister says the Leaving Cert is not cruel. It comes after criticism of the exam from the head of a second-level principals organisation. Calls for an inquest into the killing of Donegal man Michael Leonard in 1973 to be reheard have intensified following the emergence of new evidence after a Freedom of Information request. HICWA says progress has been made in addressing issues at a residential centre for people with disabilities in Lifford, but some outstanding issues remain. And Garda Safe is launched by Ann Garda Síochána. We'll have a report. Later in the bulletin, Oisín's here with sports news. That's coming up at around 5:15, but we begin with the assertion from Higher Education Minister Simon Harris that the Leaving Cert is not cruel. It comes after criticism of the exams from the head of a second-level principals organisation. With more, here's Tom Douglas.
Paul Crone from the National Association of Principals and Deputy Principals today called for meaningful change to Ireland's end-of-school exam system. He asked, "Why do we still do this to our young people?" and called the Leaving Cert cruel. I asked the Higher Education Minister, Simon Harris, does he think it's cruel?
I don't, but I do think it's a need of reform. I think there has been a national obsession in this country with the points race. I think we put far too much pressure on young people.
Paul Crone says the second level curriculum sticks out at the moment when compared to previous education levels.
Out of step with the preschool curriculum, the primary school curriculum, the junior cycle, and then we go into senior cycle. And students are basically told, forget the way you've been learning before, forget about autonomous learning, forget about skills development. Now, take out your exam papers, we're preparing for the exam.
Discussion about the future of the exams comes as tens of thousands of this year's Leaving Cert students will get the results on Friday.
There are fresh calls for another inquest into the killing of Donegal man Michael Leonard in 1973. It follows the emergence of new evidence under a Freedom of Information request. The 24-year-old was shot dead by the RUC near the Donegal-Fermanagh border at Pettigo. At the time, the RUC was accused of lying to the family, the coroner and the Irish government with their assertion that they accidentally killed Michael with only one shot. The documents, which have now been released, clearly state he was shot at three times, with the third shot fatally wounding him. Councillor Micheál Nochtain says no more members of the Leonard family can go to their graves without justice for Michael.
We had a meeting with the Department of Foreign Affairs and Micheál Martin earlier this year. Now, with this new evidence that basically was found under the Freedom of Information by the paper trail Kieran McArt, that basically proves further that basically we need a new inquest. And also I put a call through to the department this morning in relation to this, and I've been looking and putting the pressure on the minister basically to look at getting a new inquest open into this, because we have to get justice for the Leonard family of Pettigo. We definitely know that basically they were not told the truth over 50 years ago, and it's unacceptable at this day and age that an Irish citizen will be treated like this, and lies being told left, right and centre.
And it would nearly be a fresh wave of grief for them now that they need to reprocess the circumstances of how Michael passed away.
Yes, and I mean, you have Michael's mum and dad basically went to their deaths without getting justice, and you know, we can't afford any member of the Leonard family that's living to go to their deaths without getting justice for his brother. I mean, 50 years is a long time for any family to wait to get justice, and we hope basically that it will happen sooner than later, because you know, we know now that with all this new evidence that has come out in relation to the Freedom of Information, that those lies been told. And I mean, the RUC did not basically tell the truth, and we know in relation to what was told to, I mean, the new evidence that basically it was not right, and that, so I mean, he had no weapon, and he's maintaining that he had. So this is all false information.
And that was Councillor Micheál Nochtain there speaking to Donna Marie Doherty. The Higher Education Minister says the Leaving Cert is not cruel. It comes after criticism of the exams from the head of a second-level principals organisation. With more, here's Tom Leonard.
Paul Crone from the National Association of Principals and Deputy Principals today called for meaningful change to Ireland's end-of-school exam system. He asked, "Why do we still do this to our young people?" and called the Leaving Cert cruel. I asked the Higher Education Minister, Simon Harris, does he think it's cruel?
I don't, but I do think it's a need of reform. I think there has been a national obsession in this country with the points race. I think we put far too much pressure on young people.
Paul Crone says the second level curriculum sticks out at the moment when compared to previous education levels.
Out of step with the preschool curriculum, the primary school curriculum, the junior cycle, and then we go into senior cycle. And students are basically told, forget the way you've been learning before. Forget about autonomous learning. Forget about skills development. Now, take out your exam papers. We're preparing for the exam.
Discussion about the future of the exams comes as tens of thousands of this year's Leaving Cert students will get the results on Friday.
HICWA says progress has been made in addressing issues at a residential centre for people with disabilities in Lifford, but some outstanding issues remain. An unannounced inspection at the two-house Lifford accommodation operated by the rehab group was carried out in May. It was following up on an inspection the previous November, which identified a number of non-compliances with regulations. With more, here's Donna Marie Doherty.
Concerns were raised by HICWA during the initial inspection in November 2022 in relation to the welfare of residents and the safety of the service provided. In May's follow-up, inspectors found that improvements had been made, but ongoing work was required. Overall, the inspector found some improvements in the quality and safety of the service provided, and improvement to the premises were progressing. However, the provider is required to continue to work towards a full compliance. Five non-compliances were identified in terms of governance and management, statement of purpose, notification of incidents, complaints procedure and protection. The report acknowledges there was a new governance team in place and they were settling into their roles and describes the interaction of staff with patients as kind, caring and respectful.
A new computer-aided dispatch system for An Garda Síochána, GardaSafe, has been launched. It's designed to enhance and improve response times while protecting Gardaí. A technical briefing was held in Galway today to launch the system. From that briefing, Sheila Nocton has this report.
GardaSafe is a national system that would see all calls requiring dispatch now handled by regional control centres. This is the first of its kind in Europe and is currently operating in three of the four regions in Ireland. Its connection with the Pulse system means that Gardaí are better informed about the circumstances of an incident and is the first time that air codes of callers can be tracked. Superintendent Deirdre Gill from the Mayo Roscommon Longford Division says that calls will be ranked based on urgency.
So we have a priority system for our calls. So they kind of go in our highest priority and then it goes down from there. So what they did with our GardaSafe system is we made these pro forma so that we are asking all the right questions when the call comes in so that we can correctly dispatch the appropriate resource.
Andrew O'Sullivan, Chief Information Officer, says they also have protections in place in case of a cyber attack.
There's multiple overlapping layers of defence and the really key point is that all of our systems are segregated into different components so that if one of them is subject to an attack then the others can carry on.
GardaSafe has dealt with 160 incidents across the country so far, with the Dublin Centre to be opened before the end of the year. Sheila Nocton at the Northwestern Regional Garda headquarters in Galway.
India has landed a spacecraft on the far side of the moon in an area scientists believe could hold vital reserves of frozen water and precious elements. After a failed attempt in 2019, the country now joins the US, the Soviet Union and China in reaching the lunar surface. It comes just days after Russia's Luna 25 crashed while attempting the same feat. Prime Minister Narendra Modi says people in his nation have every right to feel proud.
India's successful moon mission is not just India's alone. This success belongs to all of humanity.
The number of pubs in Ireland has fallen by more than one-fifth since 2005. Latest figures show 108 pubs closed last year, with an average of 152 pubs closing annually since 2019. In Donegal, 33 pubs have closed within the past year, while 119 have shut their doors in the county since 2005. The Vintners Federation of Ireland President John Clendenin says more investment is needed to help protect pubs.
Really what it comes down to is commercial sustainability. And realistically, if you look at a pub and what it provides, really it's a cultural and social pillar of any community. From a cultural perspective, you're trying to encourage tourism, trying to attract people. And then socially, I suppose, from a community perspective, it creates a sense of cohesion and social capital in towns and villages right across the country.
The owners of O'Doherty's Keep in Buncrana say they've been left with no other option than to put it up for sale. The family have already invested €150,000 in the building and say they've tried to secure national funding. They've made representations to government bodies in a bid to have them take responsibility for the building, but to date, those efforts have proved unsuccessful. Buncrana auctioneer Dara Fury told today's 9 till noon show that while there is a desire locally to retain such historic buildings, support nationally seems to be lacking.
And about 150,000, you know, investigating, doing feasibility studies and all that type of stuff. And they've gone through and they've basically just, you know, they're at their wits' end because they can't get the thing funded. They've exhausted all options. They've tried everywhere. And they're of an age now where they're sort of, they're inclined to try and pass it on to somebody who, one, might have the money and, two, might have the energy for it. And that doesn't seem to be public money, unfortunately, you know. It's just doesn't, public money doesn't seem to be coming that way, you know, despite the fact that the Department of Culture, Heritage and the Gaeltacht have offered their support, and I will say in principle, they've offered their support for the plan, but it doesn't seem to be happening. I think the will is there within Donegal to do all these things. This is a national problem. You know, Ireland, they talk about the wealth in Ireland and how much money we have and all that type of stuff, but they're not funding things like this, you know. Whose fault is that? I'm sure it's not my fault. It's not your fault, Greg. I think it's a national problem, you know.
Police in the north were investigating two reports of arson last night in Newton Ards just before 11:15. Flammable liquid was poured over the front passenger seat of a silver Peugeot 107. It was parked in the Spelga Place area and set alight. A few minutes later, a red BMW sports car parked in the Wynn Park area was also set alight and extensively damaged. A car parked close by was also damaged during the incident. Police are urging witnesses or anyone with information to come forward.
Gear your club up for the season with a great range of footballs and training equipment from names like O'Neill's, Murphy's, Precision and Mitre at Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure, sponsors of sport on Highland Radio. See michaelmurphysports.ie.
It's 5:15. Good evening, Oisín Kelly.
Thanks, Donal. We start with football. Seamus Coleman has ruled himself out of next month's Euro 2024 qualifiers with France and the Netherlands. The Everton captain says he's still 68 weeks away from full fitness following a knee operation. Ireland go to Paris on September 7th before the Dutch visit Dublin 3 days later. Aston Villa's first European trip in 13 years takes them to sunny Edinburgh this evening. Unai Emery's side will play Hibs in the first leg of their Conference League playoff round tie. That game gets underway shortly at 5:45 at Easter Road. Risha Littlejohn has become the third Republic of Ireland Ladies International to sign for London City Lionesses this week. Littlejohn has spent two seasons with Aston Villa. She joins international teammates Grace Maloney and Niamh Farley at the Championship Club. Well, just over a month after turning pro, Rashida Adeleke will aim to win her first senior medal tonight. The Tallaght sprinter is drawn in lane 4 for the women's 400-metre World Championship final. They're on the blocks at 9:25 Irish time this evening. Just under an hour before that, Sarah Lavin goes in the first of three 100-metre hurdles semi-finals. The first two will qualify for the final, along with the two fastest losers. Earlier today, Cork's Louise Shanahan missed out on an 800-metre semi-final by just 0.3 seconds. Gaelic Games, the Intermediate Football Championship, continues in Derry tonight with a fixture in Group A. Craig Bann are playing host to Fochan Vale, and the round 4 game there starts at 7:45. In cricket, rain at Malahide means they've yet to even stage the toss ahead of today's third T20 meeting of Ireland and India. Should the weather relent, then Ireland will be looking to avoid the tourists completing a clean sweep of the series. However, they're beginning to lose overs there. Finally, in rugby, England will be without number 8, Billy Vunipola, for their first pool match at the World Cup. He's received a 3-match suspension following his red card in last weekend's defeat to Ireland at the Aviva. Vunipola had a yellow card upgraded to red in the TMO bunker following a challenge on Andrew Porter. He'll miss this weekend's warm-up with Fiji and England's opening Pool D game with Argentina, but could return against Japan if he completes tackling school. And that is your sport for today, Donal. We'll be back with more tomorrow morning after the 8:30 news.
Thank you very much indeed, Oisín. A Foyle MLA is pressing for specific interventions from the North's Department for the Economy for the North West under the new Place 10X strategy. Sinead McLaughlin says Derry and the wider region has been chronically overlooked in terms of economic strategy for Northern Ireland as a whole. She's now hoping the new regional approach will give the North West what it needs, and that, she says, includes an enhanced approach to cross-border collaboration.
The Northern Ireland Economic Strategy has actually failed on a large part to actually reach all regions within Northern Ireland, and we feel it most acutely here in the Northwest, and Derry City in particular has been left behind. So anything that is going to look at sub-regional specialisms and interventions is very, very welcome, but we hope that the Place 10X strategy will deliver what we wanted and needed to deliver for the Northwest in particular. And I was pressing upon the department that a special case must be made to deliver for the Northwest, because it is the area with, you know, a large urban population, a large cross-border population, and it could have a significant impact in reaching the targets that the Department for Economy need to reach in order to pull back the economy for Northern Ireland.
The cross-border element is not something that should be overlooked. There is a very, very large border for Derry and a lot of opportunity there.
Oh, absolutely. And I made that point very, very clear. You know, you cannot see the Northwest and Derry in particular without the context of the cross-border region, and they're very acutely aware of that. And again, that is a bit of a new way of looking at it from the Department for Economy, because we have been pushing this for years, that there needs to be sub-regional interventions. You can't have a strategy that just raises the boats for the east of the province.
And that was Sinead McLaughlin speaking there. Motorists have been left frustrated facing multiple sets of traffic lights within a 6 kilometre route in East Donegal between Lifford and Liscooley. One set of temporary traffic lights are in place to facilitate Ishka Éireann works, while 3 additional sets are in operation as works continue to construct a greenway from Lifford. This has led to lengthy tailbacks in the area daily. Councillor Patrick McGowan says he's raised the issue with council and he's hopeful the current traffic management plan will be reviewed.
The first one was Irish Water, and that's replacing the pipes to empty Castlefin, which are urgently needed, so they have one side. But on the Lifford side of Castlefin then, you have the Greenway team that's down working there, they're constructing that, but they actually have 3 separate sites with 3 sets of traffic lights, and that's just not acceptable. Now, I spoke to the local engineers here, and they agreed immediately that is not the norm, and that is not something that the drivers would be expected to put up with, and it's just not acceptable. So they're going to speak to the people in charge down there and on the Greenway. You can't reduce the Irish Water contractors down there. Like, they have just one site, so we will be looking to reduce where the Greenway has been built. They have reduced that down to 1 or 2, but certainly not 3. Hopefully they'll come up with a solution today or tomorrow.
And particularly for those coming in, say, from the north in through Lifford, travelling on through East Donegal, it's adding a huge amount of time to their journeys.
We're still in the summer season. The weather's not great, but there's people, you can see it every day in the week on the roads. You can see their towns and villages. People are passing through, they're stopping by in their petrol and various other things, and it's great to see tours coming through. Like, but as I say, people are working between Belfry, Castlefin, down up and down to Stabann here every day. They've gone up and down maybe twice, if not more, every day. And then you have people doing long journeys, keeping appointments, catching flights in Dublin or appointments in Dublin, and just nobody is expecting to get stopped 4 times within 6 kilometres with traffic lights.
And that was Councillor Patrick McGowan there. The Advertising Standards Authority says influencers and social media have been a game changer to its work. It examined 13 individual complaints and upheld 9 of them in full out of 1,300 reports per year. In one case, a Bank of Ireland television advert showing 2 people burning a piggy bank was taken off the air. The CEO of the ASAI, Orla Toomey, believes companies genuinely do try to be accurate and honest, especially with ads that are online.
Sometimes what happens is mistakes can be made, and on those cases we will adjudicate, because it's important that everybody else learns. It's important to sense check your advertising. It's important to look at it when it is published and see, okay, well, is that how I wanted it to appear? Has something, like in the case sometimes in influencer marketing, has the platform tools obscured the message that I've put on my post, that it's an ad?
There are further calls for the NCTS to rethink the move to a cashless prepayment system. There's been outrage following the decision, which the company says was made due to a high volume of no-shows. All NCT tests must be paid for in advance online or by postal order or bank draft. Sinn Féin's transport spokesperson, South Donegal's Deputy Martin Kenny, says it's a step in the wrong direction.
I think it's absolutely preposterous that they would decide to move to cashless. I mean, a lot of people still use cash, you know, haven't got the savvy for to use the whole online payment models for a lot of these things. And it is bad enough that people are finding it difficult to book an NCT test in the first place, and there's long delays in respect of that, that they now have this added obstacle put in their way that they can't use cash and that they would have to use online payment. I think it's a retrograde step, and they need to rethink it and go back and ensure that people are able to use the money that they have, because it is still valid currency and it should be available for people to use it.
And particularly for older people, this move to a more cashless society, it just doesn't work for them.
Well, it doesn't work for many people, you know, and sometimes people talk about older people, but there's a lot of people find it difficult. Always have the online option available for them. Internet is very poor in many parts of the country as well. And of course, we have to recognise, we see the problems that the banks have at the moment, and people have the cash in their hand, they know their money they've got, and they want to use that to pay for the service that they receive for all sorts of things, but particularly for the NCT for their car, and there's no reason that they can't continue to do that. And I think they need to rethink this and come up with a better model.
And they have said that customers instead can pay by bank draft or postal order, but people particularly in rural areas don't always have access to a bank or a post office.
They don't indeed. I mean, all over the country we've seen hundreds of our bank branches close, you know, and hundreds of our post offices close as well. It's almost like everything is withdrawn away from people, and it's more and more difficult for people to be able to make payments. And as I say, the one thing that they do know and that they are used to have and can use is cash.
Weather forecast mostly dry with clear spells this evening and tonight. Lowest temperatures 7 to 10 degrees Celsius, light to moderate south to southwest winds at first, becoming calm as the night goes on. Tomorrow, sunny spells and scattered showers, top temperatures 15 to 17 degrees Celsius in a light to moderate westerly wind. And that's Highland Radio News. The main stories in brief. The Higher Education Minister says the Leaving Cert is not cruel. It comes after criticism of the exams from the head of a second level principals organisation. Calls for an inquest into the killing of Donegal man Michael Leonard in 1973 have intensified following the emergence of new evidence under a Freedom of Information request. The 24-year-old was shot dead by the RUC near the Donegal-Fermanagh border at Pettigo. Hickwa says progress has been made in addressing issues at a residential centre for people with disabilities in Lifford, but some outstanding issues remain. An unannounced inspection at the two-house Lifford accommodation operated by Rehab was carried out in May. It was following on from an inspection the previous November, which identified a number of non-compliances. And there the headlines. We're back with news headlines again at 6 o'clock. Until then, from the news team, have a very good evening.
The obituary notices this Wednesday evening, August 23rd. The death has taken place of Mandy Mitchell, Glasencarrigart. His remains are reposing at the residence of his nephew Danny next door. Funeral from there tomorrow morning, going to the Church of St John the Baptist for Requiem Mass at 11 a.m, with interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. The death has taken place of Angus Callaghan, 118 Laurel Drive, Strabane, and formerly of Sion Mills, reposing at his home. Funeral leaving his home tomorrow morning at 9:20 a.m. for Requiem Mass in St Mary's Church, Melmount at 10 a.m. Interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Donations in lieu of flowers, please, to the Alzheimer's Society, care of Quigley's funeral directors. Family time, please, from 10 p.m. to 11 a.m. The Requiem Mass can be viewed live via the parish webcam. For more details, including any family health guidelines for wakes and funerals, please go to highlandradio.com.